Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following podcast is a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be sent to DeSantisProd@gmail.com.
It's time!
With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
It's time. From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, politics, Trump, TV, film, UFC. And it's all going to be on the show today. We have two very special guests. Before we get to our first guest, I want to say hello to my partner and my producer, and my co-host, TJ DeSantis. TJ, looking a little green on the screen.
That's just you, Buff. I don't know.
Okay. Maybe I'm a little green on the screen.
Yeah, who knows?
But anyway, TJ, have a good week.
Yeah, everything's good. You know, we always do this. You say hi to me when we have a superstar on the line, and it's like, man, I'm great, Bruce. Get to Violent Bob Ross.
All right, here we go. Let me give you the introduction. So, and now our very first guest on the show. We do have two today, but the first one, a fighter I admire, a fighter I like watching fight. I very much enjoy watching this man do his work when he's inside the octagon. It's Violent Bob Ross, Luis Pena, on your goal and your trek to championship belt around your waist. How you liking everything, Luis? You like it, the progression? Are you happy with everything? And I know you got a big fight coming up on Saturday, so obviously I'm giving you a couple of loaded questions on your first question.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good, Bruce. I love everything. I love the process. You know, this is I don't think you can truly get to where I've gotten in the sport if you don't love the process and you love what you do. But, no, I'm really enjoying everything, you know, especially these first couple of years I've been in the UFC have been real, some real learning lessons for me, been real formative for me. You know, I've been able to take these lessons I've learned here in these first few years, and I feel like they're going to allow me to have a really long and prosperous career going forward.
Yeah, I believe you do, because the way you fight, you get in there, you go in for the kill, you go in for everything you need to do, but you're really good at defense too. You know, you don't get hit often. I like the way you handle yourself on that. To me, you know, in fighting, I think defense is probably one of the, if not the most important thing, because we don't want to get hit. At the same time, you want to inflict damage. But every fight for you seems to be a progression. I notice an improvement. You know, when I say improvement, not that you need to improve, but you know what I'm saying? I can see that the evolutionary process of your career as a fighter is there's an improved fighter every time you walk in the octagon, right? Now, your opponent on Saturday is Dracar Close. And how long do you train for a fight? Are you a 6-8 week, 4 week? What is your training camp like?
You know, a training camp for me can be anywhere from 8 to 4 weeks, you know, depending on when they call me. But I've been training, you know, for the past 8 months, really, like really in the gym, just grinding it out for the past 8 months.
Right.
You can ask all the guys in there at ATT. Like I've been there. I was Dustin's main sparring partner for Connor. I was actually helping Peter get ready for Aljamain. So I've been in there, and I've been you know, in the thick of it, even though I took this fight on like 10 days notice, you know.
Good for you. I love that, because to me, fighters have to be in shape and ready to go 365 days a year. Just the fact that you took it on 10 days notice tells me something I already felt myself and knew. You're a fighter of that quality. That's a quality fighter. You're in this to win this. And, you know, it's like you got to risk it for the biscuit, as they say. So you got to do what you got to do. You know, it's very interesting that you were the training partner for Poirier, for Conor McGregor. So considering Conor's length and everything? Is it because Poirier wanted somebody that had that reach, that leg length that he could deal and practice his distance, which he did so well in that fight with?
Yeah, without a doubt. Actually, me and Dustin train a lot. I was his main sparring partner for Dan Hooker as well. We train and spar a lot together. But the fact also, not only, you know, do I present a lot of similar physical attributes that Connor does,
right,
as well as being a southpaw, the fact that I had already been there to help Habib train for Connor in Habib's matchup with Connor was a big, big factor for them wanting to bring me back out, because I'd actually flown back home to Arkansas for Thanksgiving to celebrate Thanksgiving with my family. And then Mike Brown hit me up and they flew me back out to Florida for a few weeks to help with Dustin's camp.
Wow. Listen to this, TJ. This is an aspect of a fighter that it's not about the fight. Just like, you know, people don't get hurt so much in the fight as they get hurt in training. But I mean, look at this pedigree, you know, sparring partner for a fight against Habib's fight against Connor, Poirier's fight against Connor. Maybe you're the guy to have in the camp when it comes time to fight Connor.
The day after Dustin got the win, I tweeted out a picture from me and Habib's camp and a picture from me and Dustin's camp. And I just threw my hands up like, hey, I'm technically 2-0 as a sparring partner.
Well, keep training, because you never know when maybe you're going to face Connor, and look at all the experience you have already. I think it's great.
You know, it's one thing I was thinking of, Luis, is you mentioned, you know, moving around a lot. And, you know, I would say about 10 years ago, if you trained at multiple camps, you were almost looked upon as someone who was not loyal, and people kind of like shied away from those types of fighters. But now I think it's changed a lot. And I think the more looks you get, the better you are. Do you feel that? Do you feel you're a better fighter for getting around?
Oh, no, without a doubt. I mean, I didn't leave AKA for any reasons when it came to training or anything like that. It was really just a financial burden on me to stay in California. And American Top Team offered me an opportunity that was really, I just couldn't turn down, as far as like being able to room and board with me and stuff. But I've also had the chance throughout my entire career to kind of go through to see a bunch of different camps and everything. And I really do believe it's helped me mold myself into the fighter and athlete that I am today, you know, especially being at ATT now, because it's one of those gyms that quite literally just everybody's coming through.
Yeah.
Now, especially when we got Peter Yan, that was a great, great addition to the team. And then like back when I was at AKA, we got, I don't know if you guys follow kickboxing at all, but the current Glory welterweight champ, Cedric Doumbé, came in, and I think he was there for 3 weeks or so. And the work I was able to get in with a guy like that, allowed me to raise my striking up completely, you know. So just being able to move around, get different looks, as well as testing yourself against guys that are considered the best in the world, it helps with a lot of different things, you know, as far as confidence and just helping you, you know, develop your own style.
Sure.
You know, I got to say something, you know, American Top Team, I mean, AKA, great training camp, great job with their fighters. American Top Team, I'm close to in many ways. The fact that the owner, Dan Lambert, has been a good friend of mine for many, many years. First met him when I did the ADC Submission Wrestling Championships in Abu Dhabi back in 1998. When we started that, 97, 98, that's how long I've known him. But the one thing I love about Dan is the way he treats his fighters, the way he brings you in.
It's a pro factory.
It's a pro factory, but at the same time, it's more financially rewarding to the fighters. And I'm not going to give stats, but I know that the cut they take and how they treat you is so much less on the cut they take, but so much more in many respects in the way they treat you, and they treat you like a family. Would that be a good way to say it when you're part of ATT, as I think in a lot of training camps, but I know American Top Team, it's a well-run machine. And Dan Lambert is not in this thing to make money as much as he's in it to help you and manage you and protect you and your future and your career. Do you get that feeling too, now that you change camp?
100%. And don't get me wrong, you know, we had a very similar feeling at AKA, and I
AKA is great. I'm not putting them down.
Family as well. But at ATT, man, Dan Lambert is the man. There's no getting around that. Yeah. You know, the way he treats us, the things that he does behind the scenes that we never hear about for us. And just like you said, the small amount of money that they take from us helps tremendously. The main thing, too, with that, there's always small things that Dan does just to boost the morale around, like, you know, whether it's buying everybody on the team full ATT Pro Team luggage kits, you know, giving us different ATT gear so we all feel like we're a part of the gym and we're part of the family, the team, as well as, you know, for Dan being the guy he is, he's the one dude that, like, he's always, whenever you see him, he's always, "What's up, Luis?" Or what's, you know, he's not that guy that's too big to talk to in the gym. Like, I've been to some gyms where it's like the owner just doesn't talk to people. You know what I mean? Or they felt like they were too big to be, like, associated with, or they didn't want to be bothered or anything. Where, like, Dan, you can tell Dan cares. And just like you said, he's not in it for anything on the financial side. He just seems like a giant fan of MMA, pro wrestling, just all of this. And he just wants to be able to help us out.
Absolutely. Huge fan, practitioner of jiu-jitsu himself. I don't know how much he's doing it these days, but he always been into it. Wrestling, I know he loves pro wrestling. I know what he's tried to do, you know, in pro wrestling, of course, we've all seen it. And, you know, it's a whole nother world. It's a sports entertainment versus what you do, which is sports reality. I don't knock any fighter that ever wants to go into wrestling, take the buck, grab the money, do whatever, you know, after your career, during your career, that's your prerogative. But you're a fighter. And you fight for real. And all I know is that when you get in that octagon, you definitely do fight for real. Dracar Close, the training you're doing for him for Saturday, is this a different opponent for you? I mean, last time you went in, you know, with Kama Worthy, you got hit with a guillotine choke. You beat Steve Garcia, you know, Matt Frivola was in the picture. I know you lost a decision on that one, but you've had an experience, an interesting array of fighters and styles to go against. Does Dracar Close pose any kind of a new challenge to you that you train for?
Not necessarily. I don't believe so. I feel as though, not to take anything away from Dracar, he's a great fighter in his own right, but I think this matchup plays very well into my style. And that was also one of the main reasons I decided that it was very easy for me to take this fight on 10 days notice, is I feel as though the things that he's good at and the things that he tries to do play very well into the game plan that I'm going to be trying to implement with him.
Very cool. You know, I noticed also, too, you were born in Naples, Italy. Yes, I'm Italian. Sir. I'm of Italian heritage. Do you speak Italian?
I wish. That was actually my first language. Really? Italian and Spanish were my first languages. But unfortunately, moving to America and getting adopted, I just lost it. Without the practice, I just lost the use.
Right. Well, you're a better man than me because I never learned it either. As much as I love the language, I should have. I mean, I can talk enough to maybe get around. And you know what this is?
No.
That's a dead one of these, you know?
That's a good one, Bruce.
That's funny.
Hey, I have my moments.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, the nickname is one of the best in the sport, Luis. But the question is, can you paint?
I can paint with blood.
There you go.
There you go. That perfect dance.
How many times have you used that one? That one was good.
That's probably, like, I forgot when I came up with that one, but that's my go-to answer now when people ask me if I can paint, because every interview, can you paint?
Well, who was the first person to call you Violent Bob Ross? Do you remember?
So the first person to ever call me Bob Ross was one of my old teammates, Dan O'Connor from back in St. Louis. But, like, the Violent Bob Ross nickname, I kind of, like, came up with that myself. But it was based on I was getting ready for this fight, and Flow Combat was, like, promoting the fight or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they tweeted out a picture of me to promote the fight or whatever, because I was the main event. And one of the fans commented, was like, "When did Bob Ross's son start fighting?" And then whoever was running their account was like, "Nah, that's not Bob Ross. That's Angry Bob Ross." And I was like, "Man, there's got to be something to it." Like, I mulled that around in my mind.
Right.
And I was like, I started to kind of like realize that the Bob Ross thing was probably where I should go if I wanted to get like just break out. And so I was trying to think of like what's the way to do it. And I forgot where I saw where I wanted to go. Violent Bob Ross. I think it was like when people like it was my idea was kind of like, you know how they have you have like TRT, VTOR, C level.
Sure.
10.
Right. Yeah.
Violent Bob Ross.
I like it. I like it. You are the reason that I know who Bob Ross is. I knew of Bob Ross. I, you know, can see his face, but I never knew what his name was until you kind of made a name for yourself in the UFC. I was like, who's a Bob Ross? What? And they're like, oh, okay. Now it makes sense.
What's really funny to me is like, because I train at ATT, is all the Brazilians and Russians, they just don't understand the Bob Ross part.
Right.
So they're just like, violent. I'm like, yeah, violent.
Yeah, violent.
Violence, right. Speaking of violence, and not that's related to what I'm about to talk about, but, you know, I enjoy your interviews. I enjoy your cerebral qualities aside from your fighting qualities when you're being interviewed. I think that's a mark of a fighter. You need to have the full circle to be a complete fighter and marketable fighter, which you are a marketable fighter. You've got a marketable look. You've got a marketable personality. And the more fights you win, the more marketing you're going to get. So I'm a marketer. As you know, you've probably heard about my bourbon, my new bourbon, Puncher's Chance.
And it's right? Funny, I'm a whiskey man myself.
Well, that's why I'm talking to you. What I want you to do is get me an address, right? You can text me your address. I'm going to have a bottle of Puncher's Chance sent to you.
Oh, right? Thank you so much, Bruce.
And if you like it, all I ask is you make a little post on your Instagram and Twitter for me. But if you're a whiskey drinker, you're going to love this. Of course, I'm pushing you. But
hey, Bruce, all you got to do, just sign it for me. Sign the bottle for me.
That I may not be able to do that because I'm going to have it sent from another location because I don't have it. But if I can have one here, get me the address and I'll do what I can do for you. Okay.
Most definitely.
Absolutely. Get that to me and I'll do what I can do. And I'm a man of my word. So
I appreciate that, Bruce, for real.
Yeah. You've got my number now. So when you receive it, try it. If you like it, do something. If you don't, be honest with me. But I will tell you that the tasting board that rates all the liquors that are distributed in the United States, we got a 9.5 out of 10 rating.
Ooh.
For Puncher's Chance. It's considered the highest rate of bourbon.
I cannot wait. I'm a big whiskey man. Like when I go out or like if I'm going to drink at home, I prefer like a beer or a whiskey. But if I go out sometimes, it depends. I also like tequila and everything. But when it comes to like just enjoying a drink by myself, just relaxing, I'm a huge whiskey man. I actually, my girlfriend just got me the molds for the ice spheres.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, those are great. I mean, the things you put in, it's like you won't have any water. You don't dilute it. You just put in those ice spheres.
Exactly. Yeah,
they are great. They really preserve the taste of the whiskey. But, okay, I'm going to get this to you, but not till after you're done fighting on Saturday night in the Octagon because you ain't drinking this before that, brother. I'm telling you that.
Not at all. I'm not a big drinker. I'm not like a huge drinker, really. I'm just more of like a recreational, social, or I'm not going to lie. Dude, I like, especially when I'm not in camp, that I enjoy like a nice glass of whiskey or a glass of wine or a beer with my dinner. But that's about it. I'm not like, I don't get like go out and get drunk or anything.
It's the Italian in you. You know, you got to have that. You got to have that wine.
Exactly. It's nothing, but especially that, after that post weigh-in meal, I like a nice steak and pasta, a nice glass of red wine.
There you go.
Nice. Perfect. Listen, you're Italiano. I was weaned on vino. Okay. It's the way it was. My dad had me drinking wine and tasting little bits in a glass when I was 8 to teach me how to appreciate it. Civilized, right? So we didn't wind up behind the bar when they went out to a movie and we're downing it ourselves. He taught me how to appreciate it. And I'm not a big drinker. I do enjoy it, but I drink because of the quality of what I'm drinking.
Right. Exactly.
I never drank to get drunk. I just drank because I enjoyed it. And if I got a little good feeling, all the better. I'm not into being sloppy.
Man, I'm jealous of you two. You're both like real Italian. I've got an Italian last name, but I'm about as Italian as the Olive Garden.
That's exactly well put.
I feel you. Every time I go into a restaurant, a Mexican restaurant, and they ID me and they ask me, and I just look at them like, Tacos El Pastor?
Right. Yeah.
My name is Luis Antonio Pena. I don't speak a lick of Spanish.
That's all right. Fake it till you make it. It's all good.
That was really bad, though, too, is I'll be reading the menu and I can put on the accent 100% and then they start talking to me. They start speaking Spanish to me and I'm like, no, that was just a front.
Right. Hey, listen, it's been a real pleasure having you on, Luis, and I'll see you. Actually, you're fighting Saturday, and I have to apologize to you. I'm not announcing Saturday.
It's all good, Bruce. It's all good. But hey, we'll be back together soon.
Absolutely. But I'll be watching you. I definitely will be watching the show for sure. I appreciate you too, Luis. Thank you for coming on my show. I really appreciate it. I wish you all the best Saturday night. May the best man win. Go in there and do your best. And I'll be there in spirit for you, brother. My spirit's always in the octagon, I promise. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, of course.
Thanks, Luis.
Thanks, Luis. You take care, buddy. And get me that address.
No, definitely. I will. As soon as I'm off, I'll get it to you.
You got it, brother. Take care, man.
It's time to begin!
Who am I kidding? I'll let him do it.
It's time!
Now, back to the voice of MMA, Bruce Buffer.
And we are back. It was great having Luis on the show. Very interesting fighter. We're going to continue with another fighter that has been in the octagon twice that I've announced her in the UFC. She is an Invicta fighter. She's color commentator for Icon Sports. She's also co-host with my producer and partner, TJ, on Extra Rounds, along with Ray Longo and Dean Thomas. And quite the brander and marketer herself.
Let me just say, Bruce, Pearl will probably say she's the host of Extra Rounds, and I'm her co-host. I mean, she's kind of taking this thing over.
Hey, listen, that's the attitude it takes to get ahead in life. Like I always say, everybody thinks in dreams, but only 2% of the people put it into action. So, Pearl, let's get the 2% on the show, and let's start with you. How are you today?
I am amazing, first and foremost. It is an honor to be on this show with you. So thank you so much for having me on, Bruce.
It's my pleasure. Sincerely, my pleasure. TJ talks very highly about you. I talk highly about you from the time I've spent with you. But, you know, it's very interesting watching your career. I mean, as far as here's an example, and I talk about this to fighters all the time. You have to think beyond your guns. When you put your guns away, what are you going to do after your fighting career? And has this been a plan of yours, like on your schedule from day one, to make this happen and the commentating and the other things you're doing? Because you're involved now in two shows aside from fighting. Last part of the question is, and pardon me for asking this, I'm not aware of what's coming up, but are you still going to fight?
All right. Yes, I am. I still want to fight. I don't know how much longer. I'm getting older and I'd like to move on. I'd like to move into another area. I don't want to leave the sport. I've dedicated more than half of my life to the sport. Loki. I've dedicated more than half of my life to this sport. And thank you. And, you know, I love it. I love this sport. This is truly my passion, my heart, right? And as far as commentating and podcasting, no, that this wasn't a part of it. What has always been a part of my goal from day one is to be on TV, is to be in movies or commercials, whatever it was. I knew that I wanted to be in TV and be in front of a camera. Mm-hmm. It's funny because when I first went back to fighting at 21 and I decided to pursue and become a professional MMA fighter, my aunt, who's been with me at every single fight, her and I were talking and she's like, yeah, you'll fight and then you're going to become a champion and then you'll go to WWE and you're going to be like the big clam. And she's so dramatic. And she had like this whole little storyline of what would happen after I was done fighting. And yeah, so it's always kind of been, you know, use my passion to get me to another platform, which is behind the camera.
That's interesting you say that. Now, when you were younger, did you study acting? Was your goal to be an actress? You know, did you pound the boards at all, get any plays or do any work on that?
Yes. My aunt, who has been a model for the last 25 years, started grooming me for modeling and acting at a very young age. I think I had my first photo shoot at like 5 years old. She put me in an acting class in LA when I was like 10 years old. I've done a couple acting classes as an adult, but I haven't pursued that much yet. I've been so focused on being an athlete.
Listen, like Dana said, all fighters want to be actors. All actors want to be fighters. But there's definitely a chance for you still into that career. You have the looks, you've got the personality, and you've got the will, the want, and the passion for it. Those are key ingredients, especially the passion and the will. That's the first key ingredient you have to have. So I'm never one to step on anybody's goals and dreams. I say just go for it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I want you to read about the other MMA fighter who went into film, had a very good career, but I think she just blew it, and her name is Gina Carano. If you heard about what she's there's a point to open your mouth about things. There's a point not to when you're in the public thing. So it's always good to learn and whatever. I hope Gina comes out of this okay, but it wasn't a smart move on her part. She's paying the price right now.
You know, Loki, I'm going to kick my dog in a second.
Oh, no, kick your dog. Let's see that face. I want to see that dog's face. I got a glimpse.
He's the cutest little thing ever.
Oh, come on. Look at that guy. That's a face to love. Jeez.
He's like a pig trapped in a dog's body. But yeah, you know, I agree. I believe, you know, to keep my opinions about things and my personal life, I try to keep that outside of the public. I don't think it's important, you know, for those things to be out. I do. I help Gina. I love Gina. I've been watching her since I was young. I've looked up to her. You know, she's just she was a phenomenal MMA fighter. She was the first to like be this beautiful woman and fight. Right. She was the first to do that. And then come on. And she was so badass. It was so cool to watch her. So I hope she does. I hope she comes out of this on the other side.
I hope so too, because I like Gina. She's I always enjoyed announcing her the whole bit. Let's face it, Gina was the first one to really kind of bring MMA for women to the map. And of course, Ronda closed the deal for everybody, right? And
right.
The Cyborg and all that. So good stuff. Now, with the ongoing commentating career, you know, hosting this and hosting that, do you have an agent? Are you with an agent now in Hollywood? Are you trying to make your move? Or are you waiting for the phone to ring? Or are you dialing the numbers yourself?
I don't have an agent yet. That is something that I'm looking at. I'm in the process of working with Malky Kawa, first round of management, he's an amazing man. So that is the start right now. And that's kind of where I'm at currently. However, yeah, I mean, a talent agent's huge, right? I know I need that and need to work with someone or find someone.
Yeah, but I'll give you a little bit of advice. You probably know yourself. It's one thing to have an agent, but it's another thing to have an agent actually do work for you. Okay. They can have you on the roster, but they got to do work for you. It's like, if you ever watched Entourage, the TV show, and they had the meeting where they bring them in for the agency and there's 13 agents and they got the video, what they're going to do. I've been in those meetings and I've signed with one of the top agencies like that, but they didn't do anything they offered. You got to stay on top of agents and hopefully get one that's passionate about you and what you can deliver on what they can do for you. So
pick
your agent carefully.
Anybody will sign up to take 10 to 20% of what you make, you know?
Anybody will, but will they work for it? That's the key. I tell them, you want 10, 20%, you deliver a deal, you get it, because you're not getting any part of any other deal I have on the table. I'm sorry. You work for your money, just like I work for mine.
Bottom. I love that.
I'd get a talent agent, but I need to find some talent first.
Well, you've got talent, TJ. I mean, you're on the extra rounds, you know, of course, Ray Longo.
Yeah, I'm on the Pearl Gonzalez show. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to mince words, right?
What is it like working with Pearl?
Well, it's fun sometimes. It's also
sometimes.
I mean,
wait, you better elaborate on that one, TJ.
Let me just say that last Saturday night between Ray Longo and Pearl Gonzalez, when they were talking about Valentine's Day and gift ideas, I thought we were going to get kicked off the internet. I thought Facebook was going to just cancel us because Pearl was getting risque. She was drinking a little bit. She's coming up with taste recipes for Puncher's Chance and things like that. So there are times with Pearl I get a little concerned about our longevity in the space because we push those envelopes.
I am a habitual line stepper. Yes, I am.
That's true.
Sounds to me like one of our old SNR shows you had with Pearl Saturday night.
She would fit in quite well with Sammy. I mean, that's one thing that I will say about you, Pearl. Like, you have really sort of extended yourself in areas that we haven't seen prior to, I think, the last 6 months, really. And you are letting people kind of know more about Pearl Gonzalez, the person, rather than just the athlete. Do you like doing that? Do you like being someone that is talking about, you know, pop culture things and other areas besides just fighting?
I do. I love it. I think that I love fashion. I love men's fashion. I love sports. I love alcohol. I mean, there's so much more to my life than just being an athlete. It's been my sole focus these last few years. But yeah, I've got a great personality. I'd love to talk and have a great time, have a couple of drinks, you know? And so like, it's perfect opportunity. Saturday night, just watch some amazing fights, have a couple of drinks and, you know, shoot shit with you.
She has no issues telling me that I'm wrong and dumb, even when I'm right and correct, but, you know, and smart. But
all right, Pearl.
Yes.
Have you heard of my new bourbon, Puncher's Chance?
I have heard of it and I cannot wait to try it because bourbon is actually, I'm a whiskey girl and bourbon is my favorite kind of whiskey.
Looks like I'm shipping out another bottle, TJ. Would you send me an address? I can get Pearl a bottle.
I will. The problem with Pearl, though, is I swear she just smells the booze and she gets buzzed.
What can I say? Many men would say that's my kind of girl. So
that's
it's all good. Pearl, I'm going to send you a bottle of Puncher's Chance. We got a 9.5 rating out of 10 from the taste board that rates all the it's a big hit. It's a big hit.
It's amazing. Delicious.
I'm very proud of it. Worked really long time on this and it's selling like hotcakes. So let me get your bottle. And all I ask, if you enjoy it, make a little post for me or send me something, you know.
Oh, we'll feature it on Extra Rounds, yes. Bruce. Pearl up with some sort of recipe and pair it with like a burger or something. You should see what she does on Fight Night. It's crazy.
Great. I make recipes I've been waiting for a good bourbon to make roasted pecans with bourbon and a little bit of sugar. And so I'm really excited about this because I'd love to make a little recipe with it as well.
All right. You got it. And I would love to hear about the recipe. And we have a nice little hinge of caramel and vanilla and it's really good. And it mixes really well. Trust me. I tell it like it is. I don't BS people, but it's up to you. You tell me what you think.
What do you like mixing it with?
I'm a straight drinker. I just like it having straight. Although I will say that I had a friend over. We were celebrating a belated my 25th anniversary, you know, from Saturday in the Octagon and stuff. And we mixed it with champagne, which I call a French 75. I had a little Perrier Jouet and Puncher's Chance, and it mixed beautifully. It was wonderful.
Wow, that sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like the way Carl says that. Sounds delicious. That's good. I like it. Give me a video with that. Hold up the bottle. It'll go viral. I love it.
Yeah.
It's perfect. No question. All right, Pearl, listen, we're going to let you go. Is there anything that you want to promote? Anything you want to tell our audience about yourself?
Come check us out on Extra Rounds. We have a really fun show here. TJ's constantly,
embarrassed.
Worried about me getting him fired.
Right, yeah.
You're not embarrassed, but we have so much fun on this show. We talk about the fights that happen. We talk about the upcoming fights. I get tipsy on there. We shoot shit with each other. It's a great time. So come check us out on UFC Fight Pass's Facebook page, Extra Rounds.
What do you mean what do you mean you get tipsy on there? You're tipsy before we even go on the air. It's a fun time.
That's my Saturday night. That's my night to have a couple drinks and get tipsy.
Listen, a fighter who can kick your butt, make you laugh, get tipsy with you, have fun, smile, and enjoy. You got it all. You're doing fine, Pearl.
Pearl will be back in the booth with me coming up on, what is the date? Is it March 5th?
March 5th.
March 5th for Icon Fighting Federation, which you can also watch live on UFC Fight Pass.
Very cool. Pearl, I wish you all the best. Sincerely.
Thank you.
Keep pursuing the career and make the most of it. If your dream is to be on that big screen, the little screen, any screen. You'll get there.
Thank you.
You know why you're going to get there? You know why you're going to get there? Because you've got a puncher's chance. Okay.
Oh, I love that.
That's it, baby. Ow, I felt that. I like it. Oh, really good. All right, Pearl, you take care. I'll see you soon. And really all the best. Keep punching. Keep moving forward harder than ever. I'll get you a bottle of Puncher's Chance to enjoy yourself and celebrate life with.
Thank you very much. And congratulations on your 25 years, Bruce. You're an amazing, amazing person in our sport. So grateful to have you in it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pearl. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate that. Oh, I got a little tear in my eye. That was good. Thank you, Pearl.
Bye, Pearl.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
Bye, TJ.
See you. Well, there she is, Pearl Gonzalez.
Quite the character.
Oh, she's fun. She's tons of fun. I've traveled a lot with her. I've called a bunch of her fights in Invicta, but she's been inactive from fighting as of late, and watching her sort of spread her wings as a commentator has been a very fun experience for me to help her along the way. And we've had adventures. We've gone to Cancun a few times, San Carlos, Mexico as well, and then obviously doing stuff for Icon. It's a blast, man. Like, a lot of people don't realize, Bruce, that obviously we're here to watch fights and, fighting is the name of the game. But the adventures that come along with, doing our jobs, that's where the real fun of the job is, in my opinion.
There's no question. That's why one of the reasons I wrote my book, It's Time, I had to remember what I'd forgotten.
Right.
I mean, I've announced thousands of events, and thousands of fights, or hundreds. Yeah, I'm probably close to 1,000 events, which translates into what? Thousands of fights.
Right.
But
you've also done things that aren't even fight related, like World Series of beer pong, you know?
Beer pong, Super Bowl commercials.
Arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling, esports. I've also done, you know, I've done NFL, NHL, MLB, hockey, all of them.
The announcement WNBA. Of births.
Which one? A burst, a championship. We got to go to brucebuffer.com or Cameo for
right.
that. But
you've broken definitely. Up with girls for people, unfortunately.
Not on purpose. That was a mistake. We all know about that.
Kayla. But, you know. I know Kayla's out there. She's got to come on the show. She's got to reach out.
I think it's Kaylee, but yes.
Okay.
Kaylee. I'll say it again. Kaylee, reach out.
Come on the show. Yeah. It's time for Bruce Buffer to
send you a bottle of Puncher's.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Sounds good. No, that was fun. It's fun. Two very interesting people. And my kind of, I like that. I like, See, I like fighters with personality. Not that they don't have personality, but enjoy it. Brand yourself, you know, and that's what we were talking to with both these people.
And that's what I like about this show and this podcast in particular, Bruce, because a lot of people will go, oh, I didn't even know that Bruce had an MMA podcast. And it's like, well, it's not an MMA podcast, really. I mean, yes, it's a lot of characters from mixed martial arts, but
yeah,
this is not a combat sports podcast.
No, this is a lifestyles podcast. And it's funny you mentioned that because Bisping on last week was one of our highest viewed shows on the YouTube channel, which we're building. You know, we only started that a few months ago. And it really took it a lot. But a lot of people writing and say, I didn't know that Bruce had a YouTube channel. I didn't know you had this great show. Going to subscribe, have subscribed. I was really pleased to read a lot of these YouTube messages coming in, which is really cool.
So, episode 500 before the year's over, Buff. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I do. But it's amazing.
I mean, that makes it sound like it was not fun, but all right.
No, it's all fun. It's been 12, 13 years or whatever it's been of fun. But
I don't even know how long it's been anyway. I think 13. I'll be 13 this May.
Wow. Amazing.
Crazy,
right? Let me say one little note. Crazy. One little note for those of you listening and not watching the show. Go to the YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, subscribe to the show. Visual is a lot more fun, I think.
Yeah, you can see my embarrassed face all the time.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, listen, a little in the news. I still don't understand why people can let this happen, but Kevin Hart, who's a very cool cat and very super successful, you know, banking over $100 million a year at times in his career, he had a personal shopper was busted. His personal shopper, aside from buying stuff for him, spent $1 million on themselves. How does this happen? How does it?
How would you not notice?
It uses his credit card to launder cash into his own account. He burned through the cash to buy stuff, authorized purchases for Kevin, siphoning off hundreds of thousands from his credit cards and depositing the dough into his bank account. How does?
Unbelievable.
It was $1.2 million over 2 years. Who the hell is doing Kevin Hart's books?
Seriously, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I don't get it.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, how much money he's making, $100 million. I get that, but that's still 1% of his incoming wealth that has just gone. That's a lot of money to not
that's
notice.
A lot of money. Yeah, I don't see how you can't notice that unless you just have too much money, but I just don't get
it. I could help with that, or I guess maybe his personal shopper was.
I'm sure you can. So, TJ, we touch on collectible cards all the time, and we're going to be doing this more weekly because the whole industry has boomed. In the last year, cards I have, like, for instance, I'll show you. This 1987, this is an unopened wax pack.
Okay, I see it. Yep.
Okay. This is graded. Well, this one's a 7, but I have a 9 graded, okay? I just got this in. I bought this pack for $250 in a 9 back in September.
Okay.
This pack now you can't get for anywhere under, I would say, $1,250 to $1,500.
Just
right?
Wow.
Just the pack.
Just the pack.
Okay? Since Jordan's, we'd mentioned on the show, since The Last Dance about Michael Jordan came out, it has just boosted the whole collector industry in basketball and overall everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mantle's card selling for $5.2 million. I just bought a box. Now, I'm doing this for a reason. We're going to follow this.
Right.
I just bought a box of these,
mm-hmm.
which is 36 of these packs in the box, which the box is unopened and wrapped. You could have bought that box in September, let's say, for $20,000.
Okay.
I know it sounds crazy, but I just paid $65,000 for the box. It's not in. I would show it to you. It hasn't been delivered yet.
Okay, so you dropped $65,000 on it.
I dropped $65,000 on a box of 87 Fleer basketball, which contains the second year rookie card of Michael Jordan.
Okay. No guarantees that you have one in there, though.
Each box, usually there's four of each cards in the box.
Okay.
There's definitely probably four Jordan second years.
But it's unopened, and that's the allure to it. Sealed, correct?
That's sealed, because one of those, if you rate one of those single Michael Jordan second year cards, well, let's put it this way. His first year card the year before sold in pristine condition for $738,000.
Oh, my God.
That's it. The exact same item went for $215,000 just weeks before.
Oh, my God.
It increased that much. This box I just bought for $65,000,
yeah,
is now being displayed on eBay in one place for $92,000 and in another at $115,000.
So what's it going to be a year from now?
I predict this box will double. A year from now, it'll be at least at a minimum of $150,000.
That's unbelievable.
I know. It's amazing. So now what's happening is that Wall Street is getting into the sports card business.
How do you mean?
Right? There's never been a time like this. Wall Street is piling into trading cards as the prices soar. And what I mean by that, there's a couple of companies that are traded publicly on Wall Street. And what they do, and again, a lot of this is since the Last Dance, it's really invigorated a lot. So what they're doing is these companies are traded where people will buy shares in the company because they own, let's say, a Michael Jordan rookie card. So you're actually owning a piece of it, not the whole card. But that's because the price have gotten so big that you're owning a piece of it. And now that Wall Street has entered it, it's going to create even more.
What companies are these? Like what? Like how do I buy stock?
Okay. Bear with me one sec because I had the company here. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. You mentioned The Last Dance. That has been, I think key to obviously the Michael Jordan collectibles, but also the pandemic for the most part. A lot of people have been at home and have been going through boxes and, you know, have been sort of spending time doing things that they weren't normally doing prior to COVID. And I think that's really been a boon for this industry, which is largely why I think we're seeing the prices of things really rise, because more people are getting into things that I think they just didn't have time to do prior to COVID.
I agree with that. And in times of economic times or downfalls, like we're dealing with it, you know, to a certain degree, that it just becomes more valuable, more expensive. And I've never seen cards and trading cards reach a point and go down in price like a piece of real estate might, that might come back or something else. They stay there. I've been doing this for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
They stay there and they just keep going up. And you might wonder, okay, well, he's going to say this is worth $250,000, but who's going to buy it? TJ? They're buying it. I've bought at least six of these before I bought the box, and I started stocking up on the 1988 pack. See this pack here?
Mm-hmm.
This is the third year of Michael Jordan. These are just going up like crazy. Since I bought these, they've increased 50% in the 3 weeks since I bought them. And I only say
that's
that
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Can it sustain that, Bruce, or is it going to pop?
Well, that's a question, you know, that people wonder if it's a bubble or whatever. Some people in the business say there could be a pullback in prices from extremely hot items like the Jordan rookies, but they don't think the valuations are spinning out of control.
And I think that's the thing, too. The bubble may pop, quote unquote, but it's going to continue to go up. It may not go up as significant as it has, but 10 years from now, something from 83 is still going to be considerably more valuable than it is today.
It's the economic theory of supply and demand. There's only so many of these pieces to buy. And that's it. Even the Honus Wagner baseball card, you know, which sold for about $1.5 million or $2 million. There could have been 10 different investors involved with that card. People are looking at these as key lines of investment. Venture capitalists are in it. Now, there's a company that's called Collectible.
Yep.
Okay.
I just found their stock symbol, CLCT.
Yeah. So that would be a question would be, how would that be? CLCT, I'm going to check into it.
It looks like they haven't made their IPO yet, but that's going to be the ticker symbol. And we'll see if there's some value there in that public offering.
I think there will be, the way that things are going.
Hard not to when you're talking about the cards appreciating in value, you know, tenfold in a matter of months.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, This firm has represented like 40 IPOs since last fall, they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say here? A 1986 Jordan car that went public at $10 a share in October is now trading at $60 a share.
Okay, so that one is actually on the market then already. Do you know what the, yes, the symbol is?
No, it doesn't show the symbol here.
What's the name of the company?
Collectible.
Collectible. How do you spell collectible?
C-O-L-L-E-C-T-A-B-L-E.
Yeah, it's not on my Robinhood app here.
We'll do it. Let's do a little research and we'll talk more about it next week when we come back.
Okay.
I think should be. But the Jordan card that sold for $700, they expect it to reach $1 million.
I mean, I believe that. Just the question is when? What's the timeline on that?
That remains to be seen. But I would say if that's the case, I'm going to say in a year or less.
I mean, that would be unbelievable. I mean, $300,000 appreciation in a year.
It's amazing. And then you look at that's 1986, which I always told you I collected pre-75, but this 80s now is just exploding. I bought a box of rookie cards with the Tom Brady rookie in it from 1990. That's already increased, and that's going to go up, obviously, for obvious reasons. But then you have modern-day cards we talk about once in a while, like Derek Jeter's rookie card, which is called SP Foil. It's a PSA 10 grade of the highest grade you can get.
Mm-hmm.
This card sold for $750,000, TJ.
That
doesn't excite me. I wouldn't buy that card. No offense to Derek Jeter. I like the older cards and stuff we're talking about right now.
All right, so collectible is on the NASDAQ exchange. I don't know why it's not coming up on my Robinhood app, but currently collectible is trading at $91.92 a share.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's the high?
That is its highest. Its last 50-day range, its lowest was at 75.35.
Okay.
And it was initially introduced at $13.26.
When?
Within the last year.
Wow. See, there you go. That's an example of the hobby itself. I would say it's probably a decent thing to invest in and just hold on to it for 3 months and see where it goes.
I mean, you might as well. You know, that's one thing that I did. I started investing a little bit just in the Robinhood app since that whole GameStop thing went crazy. And it's been about a month. I'm up
$75. $75 is $75, my
right,
man.
Right. I mean, it's nothing to write home about, but it's also just kind of fun to, look. It's I'm not a poker guy. You know, I'm not a gambler at all, but it's nice to kind of have something where I can just throw a little bit of money at something. And, one day we're up, one day we're down, but it's fun to sort of take a look at.
It's a fun hobby, a little diversification. It's a daily routine, and you will get fun out of it. So very, very cool. Very cool. All right, TJ, anything to talk about before we sign off?
No, that's it. Check myself out and Pearl Gonzalez on Extra Rounds. It's on UFC Fight Pass's Facebook page. You can check out the archive, though, as always, on Facebook or on Fight Pass proper. So make sure you download the app or check us out online, UFC.tv.
Very cool. And for me, I will not be in the octagon this Saturday. I'll be watching. It's going to be an exciting show. I wish Luis Pena much success on his bout. May the best man win, as I always say.
I wasn't able to say congrats here. We did have you on Extra Rounds on Saturday, but honestly, yeah. Bruce, congrats. 25 years is no joke. That is an incredibly long time to be at the top of your game like you have. And you've left an indelible mark on this sport, not only in mixed martial arts, but combat sports as a whole. And you've set the standard. Trust me, I've seen a lot of people try to do a Bruce Buffer impersonation. It's not ever good. But that fact alone that people are trying to emulate you, Bruce, really says a lot about what you've done in this space.
Thank you, TJ. I really appreciate that. And you know what? Listen, imitation is the height of flattery, as they say, right?
Right.
Just don't say it's time.
Well, unless they want to pay.
Yeah, unless you want to pay. You don't want to lose that paycheck. All kidding aside, not so kidding aside. Thank you, everybody. The notes I've received on my social media, the emails, the texts, people I haven't heard from in years, I really appreciate it. It's an honor for me to say I've been in this game for 25 years. But I'll tell you, as I said it on the post-fight interview, I am more passionate about what I do now than ever. I'll be here for another 10-plus years is my goal. As long as that passion stays strong, I'll be there for as long as I can. And when the passion wanes, then I'll probably be making an announcement on the show that it's time for me to retire.
I assume that'll be like 1 week before you roll out the hologram thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the will and the party, and then right. I go off into the Moon Age daydream.
Yep, of course.
Exactly. That's about it.
Henry and Rupert are going to be set for life.
Yes, they grow up strong. They grow up well. They grow up honest. role models themselves, always take care of my boys.
You got to, Bruce.
I got to.
Got to.
Got to. They're my boys. No question. All right, TJ. We'll be back next week. Another exciting guest. It was a good show. I really enjoyed it. And I wish everybody a great week. So with that being said, set your goals, write them down. Make sure you're the best you can be. So when you step on that path and you perform the best you can, whether it's first place, second place, third, top-notch salesman, top-notch CEO, whatever you do in life, just be the best you can be, because then you're winning. And that's what we're all about here on It's Time Radio. So with that being said, we'll be back next week. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy the UFC. And I will see you next week. Buffer out.
It's Time Cheers. With Bruce Cheers. Buffer is a TJ DeSantis production and is property of Buffer Enterprises Incorporated. Its content is intended for private use only.